All right, so I'm having to work both pieces of equipment again. So if I have to stop and redo something with the computer, that's what I'm doing. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 14. We've still got a long ways to go in this book. If you have looked ahead, I had forgotten how I went back and looked again the other day. I was just kind of looking ahead, and I'm like, wow, we still got a long ways to go. I get started with the message, I will just kind of give a commercial, if you will, for those that are watching. There's a new thing out there, I don't know what to call it, but anyway, it's a virtual Bible conference that Grace Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, is sponsoring and doing. And Brother Joe Sitters, who's a good friend of ours, is pastor there, and he is he and the church there has put this together, and a lot from his family also. His wife has done most of the technical part of it, and so pray for them and pray for that. It's if you're on Facebook, it's at 11th hour something
virtual conference.
Yeah, 11th hour virtual Bible conference, I believe is what it's called. You can go to that page, and if you want to join, it's open to the public. So that's available, and there's a different preacher every night. It's 7 p.m. Eastern time. A lot of good, so far we've heard two. There's another one on tonight. They should be starting any moment now. Pray about that. It just seems to be a blessing to a lot of people right now. So let's get started with our service, our sermon tonight. And we're going to be looking at chapter 14. And the title that my Bible has here for this chapter, and it's if you read this chapter, you know it's pretty accurate. It's Judah Beyond Deliverance. We know from what we've read already in this book, and it's going to continue on. The Lord's going to show us more. But there has come a time in Judah and in Jerusalem in particular where God's had enough. And this title, Beyond Deliverance, they're beyond not salvation, but beyond chastisement from the Lord. He is going to be very harsh to them. And he's used Jeremiah to tell them, and they refuse to hear him. We'll see tonight where there's even some false preachers and false teachers that are preaching a health and wealth gospel. If you always mentioned that before in this study, they're preaching this. Everything's just fine and nothing's wrong, and just keep living life like you are, and you're doing great, much like what we've heard today.
Right.
And now you look at something I'll throw out there. People are, and I preached on Leviticus 13 a few weeks ago, taught in Sunday school actually. People are come up with every excuse possible to justify their sin. Even during this time, people who have been living, God's people, who have been living contrary to what God's Word says and tells us how to live, are now all of a sudden trying to act godly. Look at the people in Jeremiah's day. The very same thing. And we'll see when we get to the part where the nation of Babylon, the army of Babylon comes and besieges Jerusalem. The people that are inside Jerusalem, we see great detail of what's going on there. They still think they're living godly lives. even with the sin that they're involved in. They never repent is the key. And we see that today. People, God's people even, who have lived very ungodly the past few years, and now all of a sudden we have a plague upon us, and now they're the nicest person you ever met. They're doing this for everybody else and all that, but they've never repented for the sins they committed. And the Lord tells us even after we're saved, we still have to repent. That's one of the requirements of being His children. But so many, and like I said before, all of a sudden everybody's a theologian, you know. And we see the scripture, just listen and watch. Like I preached on Leviticus 13, there's other scriptures, I see it daily. People taking God's word out of context and trying to apply it to this day, and things, stories in the Bible, they try to apply to what's going on now and it don't fit. You want to read in God's word something that is similar to what's going on today, go to the book of Jeremiah. Because the people, God's people, refused to repent of their sin. And that's what we're seeing today. God's people are refusing to repent. Even as bad as things are, you if you're on social media, you see it. People are refusing to repent. And God, we know, sovereign God, brings these things on His people. It's not time for Him to judge the rest of the world yet. That's coming. He does chastise His own people now, though. So we have to be careful what we try to apply to our life today. Now, there are things in the Word of God, don't get me wrong, there are things there that can comfort us, and we should look to those things for comfort. There are stories, there are scriptures where God gives us comfort, and we need to look to those things for comfort. But if there's been sin in our life, we need to repent of it. Chapter 14, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. There is a drought in Jerusalem at that time and in Judah. He says the nobles, that means the leaders of the nation, the leaders of the people. In their day it would have been the royalty. People, and the wealthy people of the land. They sent their little ones, their children, to get water, and there's no water. They go down to the pit. If you've ever seen a picture of a well in that part of the world, it's an open pit, and the water's down at the bottom. They had staircases that spiral case down to the water, and they would walk down and get their pitchers of water and carry it back out. It's like an open pit. They go down and there's no water there. It's dry. They're in a drought. And he says, they are ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. The nobles are perplexed. They don't know what's going on. They're concerned. They're worried because there's no water. And he says, they covered their heads. He says ashamed. They're ashamed of what? Well, could it be their sin? Well, we know that's not true because he tells us they never repent. They're worried about their children, for one here, and for themselves. Verse 4, because the ground is chapped, in other words, dry. For there was no rain in the earth. The plowman was ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. It's so dry, there's no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. If their animals don't get what they need to eat. It says here their eyes get failed. In other words, they're going blind. And people, if you don't get the nutrients you need, you lose your eyesight. So that's one of the ailments. Verse 7, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Jeremiah cries for the people here. Jeremiah is trying to act in their stead here, if you will. And yet, God's not going to listen to him because they've gone too far. Because Jeremiah is not Christ, for one. He can't intercede for the people. It's an impossibility. He's just another man like they are. But he begs God to forgive them and to come amongst them. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. The Lord's already got a plan for what's going to happen. And he tells Jeremiah here, don't even pray for them. You're wasting your time. Now the Lord does tell Jeremiah, does continue to give Jeremiah sermons to preach to them, but the Lord knows they're not going to hear. But he tells Jeremiah, you continue to preach these things to them. The Lord's given them every opportunity to turn, and they don't do it. They never repent. And he says in verse 11, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Don't pray for their good. It's not going to benefit anybody. It's too late. He says, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by famine, and by the pestilence. They're going to suffer, not just by the sword, but by famine and pestilence. So they're going to starve to death, a lot of them. And we'll see later on where things get so bad in Jerusalem during this siege, some of them are going to eat their own children. That's how bad it gets. We think we've got it bad today. We don't have it as bad as they do. Yet, we look around us and we look at the things that we've talked about before in this study and things we'll talk about afterwards. The sins that they were committing, we see the very sins today, even amongst God's people and even amongst His churches. And none of us are exempt from all of it. I mean, maybe we don't do some things that other people do, but we need to examine ourselves too. And it's not just others that need to repent. And maybe things that we're doing we need to repent of. Verse 13, then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So their own prophets during that day were preaching health and wealth gospels. They were preaching everything's peace. There's no one's coming against us. We hear that today, don't we? No one's coming against us. We heard this, you know, it hasn't been that long ago. Nothing can stop us. We were in an economic boom, and look what happened overnight. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in thy name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them thy prophecy. They prophesy unto you a false vision and division, divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. These prophets are liars. They're false prophets. They didn't get their words from God, in other words. I don't watch religious television anymore. I used to just to get my blood to boil once in a while, but I have seen some videos recently. Actually yesterday, for that reason, of some of the preachers from the Pentecostal persuasion who were demanding that this virus leave. Well. And demanding making demands towards Satan and all this, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Go back and read Jeremiah, because in Jeremiah's time, what was happening to them, God brought it on them. How do we know this is not God bringing this on us? If He is, then you're demanding things from the wrong being, and if it is God bringing it on us, you better not be demanding that He will remove it, because He'll remove it when it's His time.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is make God mad. We've got no right. It's always amazed me how these preachers, they demand things from God. God never tells us. Now, we are to come boldly before the Lord. He does tell us that. But that doesn't mean that we come to Him and demand things. There's a difference. And to demand that a plague leave us when the plague was brought to us by the Lord is ridiculous. The more I read, the more I study, the more I hear on these things, the more I'm leaning to being convinced that what we're seeing today is brought on us by the Lord. And if you don't see that, get in the Scripture and read, because it's there. Then the Lord, verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, but sword and famine shall those prophets be. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. Those very prophets that were preaching that health and wealth gospel and saying that the sword and famine was not coming, like Jeremiah was telling them, they're going to be taken by the sword and by the famine. They're going to be taken by what they said was not coming. Will we see that today? I don't know. That's up to the Lord. It may be already happening and we're not seeing it. I don't know, but... In Jeremiah's day, that's how God took care of them. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. So many are going to die in that day, died in that day, that there was no one there to bury them. They were left out in the streets. Their own family, and whole families. Matter of fact, there were whole families that were dying because of the sword and the famine. And he says, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Verse 17, therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears, night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a great grievous blow. with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick and sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. They're going to be carried away captive. Remember that. That's what's going to happen. That's going to be their end in this story. They're going to go, the ones that are left are going to be carried away into captivity, into a land that they know not, he says. They know nothing of Babylon in their day. They've never experienced, I don't know if they didn't, if no one from Babylon had ever traveled there. I don't know. The scripture doesn't really tell us, but it says a land that they don't know anything about. They're going to be taken away to a strange land. It's not going to be, you know, in a lot of cases, and even in their day, a lot of when an army would come in and take over a country, they would leave the people there, and, like the Romans, for example, and the Greeks. The Greeks did the same thing later. Well, the Greeks first, and then the Romans. They would send in troops to control the nation, and but leave the people there. They didn't take them captive. They held them captive in their own land, but not didn't carry them away into captivity. Not like Babylon and Assyria did. And Egypt did some of that too. But they're going to be carried away to a land that they don't know anything about. When they get there, they're not going to know how to... They're going to be retaught to survive when they get there. They're not going to know what crops they can grow, what animals they can have, anything like that. It's going to be totally new to them. Plus the fact they're in captivity. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We look for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. They're wondering where God is. When it comes down to it, they want to know where God, where is God? Where's the God that's protected us all this time? Well, you turned your back on him. That's what happened to him. You didn't want him around. We acknowledge our Lord, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. But they're the ones that broke the covenant, remember. He didn't. They did. Isn't that how it always is? It's always God's fault, right? That's how man thinks. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord of God, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. There's nothing from the vanities of the Gentiles, from the false gods of the Gentiles. They can't cause it to rain. Why? Because they're not the Creator. They can't give heaven, it says, or can the heavens give showers? The stars and the moon that they pray to can't produce the rain, cannot give them showers. You know, that's been a teaching that's gone back as far as man knows in written history, of worshiping the stars and the moon and the planets and all that. A lot of mythology involves astrology, and that's what he's referring to here, is even the heavens can't give showers. Only God. He says, art not thou he, O Lord, Lord our God. The people, by the time they realize that God's not with them, and they realize that what they have done, it's too late. God's turned his back on them. He's not going to help them. Now, we know once they get into captivity, there are things there. You look at Daniel, you look at some of the other men who were there in the captivity, God took care of them. God could have had Babylon totally wipe them out. He had all rights that he could have. I mean, as bad as they had done, he could have totally wiped the nation of Israel out and started all over. He did it in Noah's day, right? He totally wiped the whole earth clean and started over, except for one family. He could have done the same thing in Israel, but he didn't. Why? Because they were his people. He had a plan for them, and he still has a plan for them. But God will not, he will not tolerate his people committing spiritual adultery against him. And that's what they had done. Even today we see it. And I've talked about that enough tonight. But we see, not just in our nation, but around the world, people who claim the name of Christ, who even blaspheme the name that they claim, and you see all the things that are going on, and all the things that have gone on in recent history, things that men have been involved in, and things that people turn their back on God and turn to the world. And we even see it today, even in these tough times, men are more interested in politics today than they are the worship of the Lord. So we'll stop there with that tonight. And we'll, Lord willing, we'll pick back up with chapter 15 next time. It's just a continuation of chapter 14. So that's all.